Okay. So, as we've said, Rabbi Meir says that this pasuk can be applied to Yehuda. In what way? So, Shneimar, the pasuk says, Vayomer Yehuda Elechov, Ma Betza Ki Naharog Es Achinam. All right? Yehuda said unto his brothers, you know, when they were debating whether to kill Yosef or not, right? It says, what are we getting? What gain do we have? Betza in this case means, what profit do we have? What gain do we have? That we kill our brother, right?
Yeah.
Right. And then, yeah, he didn't do anything. Reuben left the scene. Right. Reuben left the scene. No. What Yehuda's. Yehuda, you know, he could have persuaded. After all right, Reuben Mela, he's not a stronger character as Yehuda. But Yehuda was the one who was looked up to by all his brothers, and he could have persuaded them. Hey, wait a minute. He's our brother. How can we do something like this, you know, to our brother? And he didn't. Okay, so
Reuben.
That's why, huh?
Reuben.
No.
Reuben, right. Reuben left.
Okay.
But Yehuda's there with the other brothers, right?
Right.
And he's the one to whom they always look up to, you know. He's the strong one among them, right? So he could have done something the same, and then he didn't. Okay.
He didn't.
Right. Okay.
Well, they needed something.
Yeah. The Chol HaMavorech is Yehuda, and therefore anybody who praises Yehuda literally blesses him, right? HaRezeh Minoit. In that case, it shows that he's showing contempt. Yalzeh Ne'emar, and in connection with this, it's written, Avotzeh Berech Ne'etz Hashem. Yishebin Korcho Emer. Now we get back again. And he says, Mitzvah Livtzoah. He says, it's a mitzvah to arbitrate. Shenemar. What do you mean? Where does he say that?
Oh, it's right.
He says it's Gemara. Shenemar. Here he quotes the famous pasuk in Zechariah, where it's written, "Emes u'mishpat shalom shiftu b'sha'areichem." Truth and a peaceful judgment. You should judge in your gates, in your courts, right? In your gates. Lo b'makayim sheyesh mishpat ein shalom. But is it the fact that where there is a judgment, there's no peace? Or b'makayim sheyesh shalom, and where there is peace, ein mishpat, then you don't have, you know, the strict letter of the law. So what kind of a judgment is Sheyesh Bo Shalom, where we have peace? Have a Omer Zebitsua. You have to come to the conclusion that this is arbitration, because in arbitration, if both parties are satisfied that the judgment is okay, then in that case this is a Mishpat Shalom. Okay?
If both parties are satisfied,
right.
Justice, right?
Correct.
It's hard to understand what they're referring to here, but we'll find
anything
out.
That's not a judgment.
Now, what he's trying to say is, when there is a court, a regular court, they deliver judgment in the monetary case, of course, we're talking about, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The monetary case. Judge says, okay, A is the one who is right, and B is the one who is wrong, right? So, what is the feeling of B? Is he happy about it? No. So, obviously, there's no shalom in that case, okay? Whereas, you know, it's the other way, right? If they're both are satisfied with the compromise, then in that case, there's peace. That's what he's trying to say.
Okay, I see this is more mediation.
Because the Kenyan is there to say that they're going to abide. No, because as we had before, you weren't here at the time, but earlier tonight, okay? Without if you have, it says, if you have a quart of two, okay, instead of the regular Besdin, people can say, hey, wait a minute, we expected you to judge us according to the law of the Torah, and you didn't. Law of the Torah says we have to have three judges, and so you didn't do it. So that, therefore, the case is thrown out. Okay?
Right.
All right. So, if the, in the case of arbitration, they didn't take Kenyan, then in that particular case, again, the litigants could say, oh, wait a minute, I'm not happy with what the arbitrator has to say. You understand? I'm not happy with his decision.
Okay, first I have a problem.
Okay.
We keep saying two things. We keep saying...
Yeah, I know, arbitration or mediation.
Right, you understand this. In one case, they say, I'm not happy with what the arbitrator has to say, that he's deciding. In the other case, you're saying, no, we're making a compromise between ourselves, and the arbitrator sort of, I don't know, whatever, he's...
He still has to make a decision. He still has to make a decision.
Making a decision as to doing what?
Right. Okay.
This is the problem I'm having with this material.
Right.
But okay, it'll come through. It'll come through, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the thing. Is also, it's like Kenyan would imply that someone is making a decision, and it isn't a compromise, it isn't a give and take, right? Unless the Kenyan is, the two parties have a give and take, they have a compromise, everybody is happy, and then somebody has buyer's remorse. You know, a few days later they say, you know what,
yeah,
I really shouldn't have negotiated, I was a fool, I was narc, I gave away too much. So that's maybe why you have Kenyan. But here it sounds like the arbitration sounds like there's a decision being made. It isn't a give and take. It sounds like you're having maybe one judge instead of three. Maybe there's a little less of a standard. But it sounds like you have a decision. And that's why the parties agree ahead of time by Kenyan to abide by that decision.
No,
it doesn't sound like it's a compromise, a mediated compromise, that they're bargaining and they arrive at some sort of compromise.
Well,
it doesn't sound that way.
But
how could the judge then satisfy both sides in that case? How can that judge, who is arbitrating this thing, as you say, or mediating, whatever you want to call it, how can he satisfy them before he makes a Kenyan and says, okay, now, one of the parties are not happy with it.
I missed something here.
But the
Kenyan is just
the Kenyan
that
is
they agree
there in order
to
show that I accept
that's
upon myself. I accept the fact that whatever verdict, whatever decision you're going to make, I will abide by it. I trust you that you're going to make the right decision.
You mean to say he makes a deen?
Right.
Huh?
Are you saying that he makes a deen? He makes a decision, not a Kenyan.
Well, he makes a decision.
Okay.
But that's not arbitration. Then.
Could be arbitration.
How could it be?
Because arbitration, the arbitrator makes a decision. That's it. Makes a decision. Like, for example, Jerry used the example of a labor dispute. Two parties come, I don't know, whatever it is, employer, employee, and a union.
Right.
They each make a presentation. The arbitrator or the three arbitrators make a decision. Make a decision. And the two parties had agreed before to be bound by it. You have two parties to a contract. Whatever, you know, it could be anything that you can imagine. And they have a dispute. Well, they weren't paid enough, the terms weren't fulfilled, they were fulfilled. They had selected beforehand, in case there were a dispute, they would go to arbitration. The arbitrators are selected, they listen to the case, both parties present their case, the arbitrators make a decision. Parties had agreed to be bound by it instead of going to court because it's less expensive, it takes less time.
Instead of going to court, did you say?
Instead of going to court.
But here I think that the three judges have already made the decision, right?
we talking about a Beis Din?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
If they make a decision.
Yeah.
There's nothing that can be done after that.
That's correct.
But that, okay, that's,
so where does?
But this right. isn't that isn't a Beis Din.
This is
an arbitration.
The
Beis Din. This is, yeah, in place of it.
Talk.
Go ahead.
Okay. She got her hands raised.
Okay, I understand where an arbitration is not as flexible as mediation. Because mediation, you're coming to a compromise.
Right.
Somebody helping you to come to that compromise. But even an arbitration has a voluntary aspect to it, in the sense that you have agreed to arbitration. It's not something totally...
That's right.
Well, wait a second.
And you agree to... a system where you don't have to have like the rules of evidence and all the formal things that
correct.
That happen in a court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So mm-hmm. both of these are not extrajudicial in the sense that they don't.
They both fall, are extrajudicial.
Yeah, they both are extrajudicial. This even that arbitration has a sense of there is a little bit of voluntary nature to it.
There's two kinds of arbitration too. You have two kinds of arbitration. You can have arbitration, and at the end of the process, I'm not talking about that. You know, at the end of the process, both sides say, "Okay, we'll buy that." Or you go if you agree at the beginning that it's binding. They call it, you know, just they just refer to it as binding arbitration.
Right.
So at the beginning of the process, you say. You know, both sides say they will agree to whatever the arbitrator comes up with.
Kinnion makes it a binding arbitration.
Exactly,
right.
Right. Of course, I also have to ask, obviously, the judge, the person who is acting as the judge, the arbitrator, whatever you want to call him, in the final analysis, he is asking this party what your time is. He asks the other one, what are your tightness? And then he tries to mediate, or whatever you want to say, he tries to arrive
this,
at
right.
a decision that would be satisfactory to both of them.
Right. But he's not mediating. What he's trying to do is he's trying to make a decision
right.
as an arbitrator, which will be a final decision.
Right.
He's trying to find something that will they will both be happy with.
Correct.
But that's not mediation. That's a judge making a decision.
All right, so
he's trying to make a decision
right.
that they think both parties can live with.
Yeah.
Like any judge would do. I mean, not any judge, but many judges would do.
Right.
So where would mediation fit in then?
I don't think this is mediation, but we'll have to see. I don't see it as mediation.
Okay.
We'll see, though. We'll see how this comes about. I mean, I know I'm wasting your... belaboring you.
Okay.
Mediation is something.
Anyway, okay. So now, Rabbi Shimon ben Menashe says as follows. Now, at this particular point, we're not talking just about arbitration or anything. We're talking about, in general, a case. A judge. A judge is sitting, at a trial. Okay? So he says as follows. Shnayim shebor lefanecha ledin. Okay? Two litigants come before you. For judgment. Achalo tishma divrehen. So he says, before you hear their arguments, omisha tishma divrehen, yatoya de lehun did note, or you hear their arguments, but at the same time, you haven't made up your mind as to who is in the right, what the ultimate decision should be. So, atora shay lomar lehem. You can say to them, that is, you, the judge, can say to the litigants, Tziyu Vitzu, go out and make a deal between
work
each other.
Out.
Right, work out the pshar, okay? But Mishatishma Devrehen, once you have heard their arguments, Yatoyu Deya Lehechema did note, and you see where the verdict really should be. Then Yatorashai Lomalahem Suuvitsu. Then you're no longer permitted to say to them, go and make a deal with each other. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says,
Poter Mayim Reishis Bodom, in other words, opening up a flood of water is the beginning of strife. In other words, the beginning of strife is like opening up a flood, right? V'lifnei hiskalah hariv netosh, and before the judgment breaks out, step aside. Netosh kodem shadiskalah hariv. You can step aside. But kodem shenish, this is the way I have to read. Kodem shenishkalah hariv, before the argument has broken out, ato yocholadotsham, then you can step aside from it. But shenishkalah hariv, but once you have all the arguments and you see what the quarrel is about, then yato yochol. Then you can't step aside. In other words, you have your obligation as a judge to go and to judge. Reish Lakish Omar, and he says, Shnayim Shebo Lidin. Two people come for justice, an argument, right? Echod Rach, Echod Kosher. One of them is a soft person, and the other one is a hard person. Achalo Tishba Divrehen, so before you hear their arguments, oh Mesha Tishba Divrehen, or if you hear it, but Viyato Yodea Lehechen Dinaita, you still don't know where, which direction judgment should there be. Ato Rashaylo Ba'alehem, you can say to them, Ein Ani Niskak Lachem, I don't need you. In other words, I can step aside. Shema, why? Shema Nischayev Chazok, because it may turn out that the one who's the Shtarka, he is the one who will be guilty. V'nimtza Chazok Rotfo, and then the Shtarka will persecute him. In other words, the judge.
The judge, right.
So before you hear the arguments, you can do it. However, Mishantishpa Devrehen, if you hear their arguments, and you know where the judgment lies, then in that particular case, then you cannot say to them, I have nothing more to do with you. Shadem, in other words, have to go ahead and judge fairly. Shademar, as it is written, Lo so guru yipneyish. You shall not be afraid of any person who comes before you for trial. Rabbi Yoshua ben Kocho Omer, he says, Minayin Talmud she Yeshuv Nei Rabo, V'rozuchus le'odi v'chobe le'oshir. Where do we derive the fact that if you have a disciple of the sages who was sitting in the presence of his teacher, okay? Teacher obviously is what? The teacher is the one who's there in order to render the judgment, and he is, sitting in the audience, so to speak. The rose of Chusla, but he sees that he sees merit in the argument of the poor person, the Chovel Osher, and he sees that the rich person Taka is the guilty one, right? So Menayin Shelo Yishtok, so how do we know that he should not be silent? In other words, he should go to his rabbi and tell him what? Rabbi, the din shows that this and this and this, and it should be in favor of the poor person. Shanamar, because again, it's based on this posuk, Glosa Guru Bifnei Ish, you shall not be afraid of any man. Rabbi Chanan Omer, he says, Lo taknis tevarech b'pnei ish. Do not conceal your words because of any man. V'yehu edim yodeim, and the witnesses must know, esmi hein me'idin, who it is that they are giving testimony about, v'lifnei mi hein me'idin, and before whom they are giving testimony, Umi Asili Parabehan, and who is the one who will exact judgment from them if they're wrong? Shenemar. Of course, he's talking about Hashem, obviously, right? That Hashem is the one who will punish them if they do wrong. Shenemar, as it's written, V'omdu shdehu anoshim asher lehim havir lepnei Hashem. Right? That the two people who have the argument, right, should stand before Hashem. V'hu adayonim yodim. And also the judges also have to know, es mihein donin, who are they judging? V'lif dei mihein donin. And before whom are they judging? Again, Rebbeinu Shalelam. And who will punish them for it, or reward them for it, whatever it may be. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Tillim, Elohim b'tzov b'adas el. God stands among the in the assembly, and el over here means the judges. In other words, God is present among the judges. V'chein b'hoshofot hu omer. Likewise, reference to King Yehoshaphat. This is a quotation taken from the Book of Chronicles. It says, "Vayomer la'shoftim," he said to the judges, "Ru'u ma'atem osim," see what you are doing. "Ki lo li'odom tishpatu," because you're not simply judging a man. "Ki im la'shem," but rather you are judging Hashem. Shema Yuma, so, you know, in other words, justice has to be also pleasing to the Rebbeinu Shalom. And Shema Yuma Hadayan, and if the judge should say to himself, Mali Bitzar is there, why do I need all this Kopterelish, right? So, Talmud Loma, therefore, the Torah teaches us, Imochem, with you, which Imochem Bidvar Mishpat, which means when it comes to judgment, God is together with you. And then there's another statement that we now read. Ein lo ladayon ela mashein avroos. A judge can only judge on the basis of what he sees. In other words, not to theorize from something else, but judge based on the actual evidence that he has, the testimony, etc., etc. This is for what he's responsible.
No precedent.
I wouldn't say no precedent. I mean, precedent plays an important part in the law too, but you have to judge, right, based upon, you can't come in with preconceptions.
Yeah, and you can't judge on Rahmanas either.
Right, right.
And on the other hand, if somebody forgets to, miss information that's relevant.
Right, right.
The judge can't use.
If the judge doesn't know, the point is that he's not responsible.
Responsibility.
Right, but you know.
Correct.
Or, let's say, other witnesses come and refute the testimony of these witnesses. You know,
in other words,
it's a possibility.
As long as he's honest, he can't make a mistake.
Right.
As long as he's honest.
Right, right. He can't make a mistake, but he's only responsible for what he sees and what he hears. So
his whole caution is really aimed at teaching the judge.
Correct.
What it is to be a judge.
Right, right.
It goes beyond the actual,
yes,
litigation.
Yes, yes, yeah, it's more than litigation at this point, right. They're giving general rules for a judge, exactly. Right, yeah.
I just have problems with the second one where he says to the judge to be that if you're basically judging a horrible person, and before you start, you feel that you're personally threatened,
right.
You can abandon the case.
Right.
That
right.
Bothers me a little bit.
Well, I can understand it bothers you, but aren't there judges who recuse themselves?
Well, they're only supposed to recuse them. They're not supposed to recuse themselves because of personal fear.
No.
Mostly because they know the parties.
Right,
they,
right.
The other things, they argued, when they were employers, they argued a case that involved a very, very similar issue, right. And they formed an opinion or something like that.
Yeah. We'll come across something about also where a judge can recuse himself because he knows the particular party, the litigant.
So there is a mechanism in Jewish law for that.
Right, right.
But this is fair enough.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So now the Gemara asks the question, Hechi Domin Gemar Din. What is the conclusion of a trial like? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, so Yehuda said the name of Rav, he says, Ish Ploni Ato Chayov, Ish Ploni Ato Zakai. You, sir, are guilty, you, sir, are Zakai, you're free, whatever I mean. Well, you're the right, you're the one who's in the right.
Okay.
Of course, in the case of monetary claims, the one has to pay his obligation, the other one, you know, is the one who is free.
Right.
Okay. Omarav, Rav said, Halachik Rav Yeshua ben Korcho. And he says, Halachik Taka follows Rav Yeshua ben Korcho, who set up above that it is a mitzvah to do what? It's a mitzvah to have arbitration, if you can do it. Okay? So it'll make both parties happy. It's a mitzvah. This is in opposition to what we had at the top of this daf, where we had the son of Rabbi Yosef Gluli, who said that it's awesome. But the conclusion is that it is a mitzvah to do it.
Yes. I would be happier personally if you would say mediation.
Mediation.
Big as old. I'm not going to believe it.
You see, before you came in, we reviewed all your arguments.
There we go. All right. Okay.
Right. Right. Okay.
It's better to be caught up a fool that opened your mouth and convinced everybody that that's correct.
Okay.
All right. I'll have to.
No. Right. Okay. Any? Isn't that so? For Rav Huda Talmidei the Rav, wasn't Rav Huda who was a disciple of Rav? Right, was. Ki Hava also Lakame the Rav Huda, when he came before Rav Huda. So, what he means is that when litigants came before Rav Huda, you know, he observed this. So Omar Lahu, so what did Rav Huda say to them? He said, E dina be isu, e pshorat isu. Which do you want? Do you want to have judgment, strict judgment, or do you want to have pshorat? Okay? So my mitzvah, so what is the mitzvah that's involved? I mean, in connection with what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcho said, that it's a mitzvah of Torah. So the Gemara, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcho, next page, mitzvah of Torah, that it's a mitzvah to have arbitration. We're on Dab Zion right now, on Mid Aleph.
Who decides whether it's going to be litigation or arbitration?
All right, as we see in the case of Rav Huna, he asked him, which do you want? Do you want me to give you a din Torah, or do you want me to have arbitration?
Well, I mean, if you have arbitration, you're not going according to the Torah.
But we go back to the question.
As we said before, it's not strict justice. This is why, you know, there was the opinion that saying that it's prohibited to do it.
But
here we imply that it could be, but what is the mitzvah that's involved in having arbitration? That's the question. What is the mitzvah?
But we went through a whole business about
right.
How many judges, 3 judges, 5
right.
Judges.
Right, okay.
So
well, that would be under normal circumstances for a Beis Din to judge all kinds of cases. But in the case of Shara, we also learned that one judge alone could also be acceptable.
In case of what, Shura?
In case of Shura, in case of the arbitration.
Oh, arbitration.
Right. So there, one judge alone would also be okay.
Or if they decide that that's what they
want. Right, right. Oh, if so the two litigants agree that they're willing to arbitrate their case with this judge, then he could judge.
But if they
right.
said, no, they want to go to court, then it's a question
then,
of
how, right, exactly.
Then, how many judges
then they have to have 3 judges. Court of 3 judges, exactly. Okay. Right. So, he says, so what is the mitzvah that's involved? So, top of the next page says,
a mitzvah l'meimor lehu. The mitzvah is that you tell them they have a choice. Either you want a bezdin, if sure of peace, or you'd rather have arbitration. So they say, Haida Tabakana, isn't that the original idea that we had to begin with? So he says, Ike Bedaihu mitzvah. Okay, what's the difference between them is one thinks that it is a mitzvah and the other one thinks it's only a nice thing to have. Okay? Rabbi and Kocha Sovar, he is of the opinion that it's a mitzvah, whereas the Tanakhama Sovar, Rishus, he is of the opinion that it's only voluntary to do it. So they say, I didn't the Rabbi Shimon ben Asya, so isn't this the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Asya? So he says, Ikka Beinayhu, the difference is, Mishatishma Divrehen, difference is that once you've heard the arguments and you see how the case is shaping up, then in that particular case you're no longer entitled to say to them, go and arbitrate. You can only arbitrate as long as you haven't gone into the depths of everything and you have not been able yet to determine how the final decision is going to be. In that case, you can say to them, arbitrate. But once you've heard all the arguments back and forth and you see how the verdict should be given, then in that particular case, you have to go according to the law and you cannot say, sorry. Go out and arbitrate. You can't do that. Yeah. Ufliga the Rabbi Tantchum ben Chalai, and he's in disagreement. Rabbi Tantchum bar Chalai, the Omar Rabbi Tantchum bar Chanilai, who said Lo Nema Mikra Zeh Elo Kedeged Ba'asei Ha'ika. So here we come to another Ba'asei. Says, the pasuk that says, "Do not be afraid of any man," right? This should have been applied to the case of Aaron when it came to the case of the golden calf. Because if you remember what happened in the case of the golden calf, Aaron was afraid of the people.
Was he afraid for himself, or was he afraid of what was going to happen to them?
He was afraid they were going to kill him.
He was probably afraid for himself. There is a Rashi which basically, upon the Medrash, that says that he and the Chor, tried to Chor was brother-in-law, okay, all right. So wanted to try to calm the people down, and what happened? The people killed Hur. So that, therefore, when Aaron saw that Hur was killed, so he was afraid for himself, and therefore, he went along with the people in the erection of the golden calf. They find, of course, all kinds of excuses for it. Pardon me?
You call that Pikuach Nefesh?
For himself. It's an age-old question. Do you sacrifice yourself for somebody, or do you take care of the number one? Unfortunately.
Don't they tell you to take care of number one most of the time? It
depends on the what circumstances, but it's true.
If there was food for two, you
were
supposed to.
Right.
Or food for one,
but
two, and there
are
two people, you're supposed to eat it yourself.
Yeah, it's a famous machlokas in the Gemara Bava Basia about that.
Didn't he say that it formed itself, the egg of the hook?
Yeah. Right. Clear my mind. He said, that he took the gold and threw it into the mold, and the first thing, whoa! Behold.
Focus, right. Right.
Yeah. Jerry and I are taking this course. Jewish learning is to with Rabbi Wolf with a number of other people. I mean, we take it in during the day. There's a huge number of people taking it at night.
Yeah.
And I think the first or second
class we had was on the issue of when is it permissible to save your own life and sacrifice someone else's life, or vice versa. And it was actually very interesting, and that was one of the very first things.
We studied this someplace.
Well, I remember you taught this one time about 30 years ago. You had a class at Sinai.
An adult class.
It was very good.
The famous example is actually Gemara Bava Metzia over there. All right, so now we're going to concentrate on the story of Aaron and what happened. Why? We'll see eventually. Okay. Shenamar says in the pasuk, "Vayara Aaron," right? Aaron saw, "Vayiven Mizbeach Lifonov," and he built an altar before him, right? So Maror, so what did he see? So this is where I come back to what I said before. Omar Rabbi Yemen Vayepes, Omar Rabbi Elazar, the name of Rabbi Elazar, he said, "Ro'achur," right? Shezor.